Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Glory be to God. Let's take our seats in the presence of Apostle Joseph Serada. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Amen. So when I was asking the Lord, is that why did you want Apostle Sarah Dyer to come? You know, we are small, insignificant, well, not insignificant, but no one knows us. You know, even when I met him and I told him that our church is called Last Adam, he said, you're the only people in the world who have that word in their name, Adam. They say, Adam was useless. That's what he said. You know, so no one knows us. However, now for God to bring it, you know, so I was asking the Lord, why bring a man like this to us? This morning, as I'm reading my Bible cover to cover, I was reading Proverbs 22:9, basically 22. So I came across this verse, and the Lord spoke to me out of it. I didn't have a dream, I was reading my Bible. You know, then it says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Then the Lord told me, you have excelled in my work. As a church, you have excelled in my work. That is primarily why I am bringing kings before you. I'm bringing kings before you. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness, the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Then it says, Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings, king, apostle, you know, to the brightness of your rising. Amen? So we are very honored to have Apostle Joseph Seradai to be a blessing to us. Like in 2004 and 2006, I had two dreams. And in those dreams, God was depicting a certain man of God in this country. He was depicting him as the leader of the church in this country. Then, I think it was in around 2008, I got two other dreams when God was now depicting Apostle Joseph Serada as the leader of the church in this country. You know, these things, they are leaders in everything. You might not want to accept, but it's true. Amen. And so the Lord, he said that at that time, a shift had happened. You know, a shift had happened from one man of God to him. Okay? Then Paul was telling me that in 2013, he had a dream when he met Apostle with Ayo from Nigeria. And they were celebrating the victory they had achieved for the church of God. Now, not just in Uganda, but in Africa. Amen. You see, he had that dream. You see? And so we are honored to have this man of God here. For some of you who are ignorant, spiritually ignorant, and you don't know him, he has been born again for 42 years now. He got born again in 1975. He has been married for 33 years. To Frida, the famous Frida Serada. So he holds a doctorate in divinity and two honorary doctorates. He founded Victory City Center Church in Endeavor, which has over 470 branches in Uganda and out of the country. In the 80s, while he was fasting, a dry fast, 11 days, he had a vision of the Lord who told him to start an outreach ministry in Kampala. In 2005, he championed a campaign, to have the Pentecostals, our local, to be officially recognized in this country. You see, and that happened recently, and we give him a big hand clap for that. Like most of you know, he's a presiding apostle of the Born Again Faith in Uganda. Glory be to God. He has vast training in media, and he used that to establish radios, Impact and Alpha, and now a TV station called Dream TV. Amen. He holds those Passover festivals in Nambole every 31st to fast. Amen. So, together with me, let us welcome Apostle Joseph Serada to bless us.
Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I count it a great privilege for me to be here this morning. I was invited. I didn't just come. I was invited by your pastor. First, I could remember. I remembered his face many years ago when we met in the U.S. I think he was a student then. And I was disturbed that he's not practicing what he studied. Very disturbed. I was really, really disturbed. He also spoke about the last Adam church. And personally, I have issues with the first Adam. They are very personal. Sometimes when I get worked up, I talk about those things. I get into issues with him. Adam lived here for 900 years. 930. Every preacher needs some power. There's no way you can stand before people without power. As I said, when I met with him, I had my own reservations about Adam. So I told him, Adam lived for 930 years. And of those 930, there's not a village, there's not a city, there's nothing attributed to Adam. You can't stand anywhere and say that I come from Adam and make sense. We all come from Adam, yes, but really, what is there to show for it? So, but when I heard of the last Adam, something in me clicked. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how the first Adam was flesh, earthly, and all of that. How the second Adam is spiritual, life-giving, and all of that. And the comparison is very clear. Very, very clear. The last Adam was only here in his earthly life for 30 years, 33. And of those, only three were active years. The rest was study. Did you know that? Let's do some gymnastics here before we get into the word. He lived here for 30 years and did nothing except study the system. I think it was Mr. Jefferson, one of the presidents of America, who said, if you gave him a tree to cut and it would take 12 hours, and you gave him an axe, he would take 9 hours sharpening his axe. And in 3 hours, you will have the tree felled. So to prepare yourself is to plan better for success. You use less energy when you prepare for any undertaking. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray together now. A lot has been said about me, really. I must say that don't look at me in that area. When I walk out of here, I turn into somebody else. I become a fighter and all of that. And I hate prejudice. I hate injustice. I don't like bad laws. That's who I am. I studied journalism. Then I studied theology. And later I studied law. So I see some things. And I hate them for what they are, especially bad laws. And Uganda has a lot of them. That's why. That's how I started fighting. But away from that, I'm a very humble man. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning. We are grateful. I do apologize to the heavens and to this church for coming 30 minutes later than when I was expected. I pray that the Spirit of God will come upon us. Use the words that have been spoken by the pastor before I came to enrich and enthuse these men and women, to grow them into better citizens of this country and into better citizens of the kingdom of God. Grow us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Release your spirit into our innermost beings. Cause us to walk into your edicts. Show us the way. Build us from inside so that we can be useful outside. Make us a kingdom of priests. Give us enthusiasm to serve you. Give us power from within to cause a change, not just for ourselves, but for those that we lead. Manifest your power and your glory. Use this short, simple message today for this church to grow them into a people that the world will look back to and say, this is a wonder. And for that we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I'm grateful to God for being here. I'm also happy about this platform, not threatening. This one is good. I feel very much in control. It's small, it's short. And I come from the tribe of the Zacchaeuses, the short ones. So anything that does not come into my face, that's allowable. But the things that stand out and come into my face, I hate them with a passion. I would have said no if it was like so. So I'm happy it wasn't measured on you. I'm happy it was measured for people like us. Very simple. How to respond to a heavenly vision. How to respond to a heavenly vision. Story is told of Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul says he was not of the mainstream prophets and apostles. He was not part of the 12. He comes out of nowhere and becomes a very recognized apostle. But because he was a studious man, he goes to Jerusalem and meets with all these guys and wants to find out whether he's in illusionment or his own reality. There are people who are illusioned, thinking they are following the right thing, but they are not. So Paul is not going to take any chances. So he goes to Jerusalem, and he recounts his story, how he saw Jesus. But of course he went to Jerusalem to meet these guys, the Peters and the Johns and the Jameses of the day. And he found out that there was something very specific about what we call a call. Everyone has a call. But you all know from scripture that many are called, but few are chosen. So he wants to make sure that he knows what he's doing. And when he gets there, he finds out that surely they have a call, he has a call. And the clarity of these calls is that these people are sent to the Jews, their own people. But Paul knows and learns from them that his calling is to the Gentiles. So he's going to be dealing with a different fabric of humanity. People have never known God. People have never been Christians. People have never known, who have always known at different deities or deities as images and stuff to be worshipped. This is going to be dealing with Gentiles, people who don't know God. While the Peters can deal with the people who have been in the household of God. So he comes out and he knows the difference. But in trying to tell the difference of who he is and how he came to know Jesus, he tells the story of him meeting Jesus. You all know the story in the book of Acts. And by the way, I read the book of Acts much more than I read anything else. And I'll tell you why. The book of Acts, I'm going to read chapter 26, but I'll start with Acts chapter 1 to show you why I read the book of Acts every day or whenever I can. Acts chapter 1. Are you there yet? And verse 1. The King James says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Meaning that the gospel is both an action and an understanding. The gospel has to be understood, but the gospel has to be actioned. It's not just words, but it's not just miracles. There has to be understanding, but there also has to be action. And he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments, and no, the first verse does it. This book was written as a follow-up. What do you call that in the area of writing books? When you, a sequel? Is that what you call a sequel? What is it? Is it sequel or sequel or what is it? That one, yeah, okay. This is a follow-up. This is a sequel to the book of Luke. The same man who wrote the book, the Gospel of Luke, is the same person who writes this one. Because again in Luke chapter 1, he tells us why he wrote the book. Again, like Luke, Paul wasn't among the mainline. And again, Luke was not among the mainline apostles. Luke chapter 1 verse 1, and I'll tell you why I'm reading this book and why I read it every day. Luke chapter 1 verse 1, if you're there, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning was the very witness and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having heard perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things wherein you've been instructed." This is the original King James. The new King James may be a bit lighter. Don't worry. But this man, Luke, who is a physician, was a medical doctor. He says, "I watched Jesus from a distance. While everybody was following him without giving reason, I had to sit in my own committee." Do medical practitioners have a sort of body that brings them together? What is it called? In Uganda, you don't know. It's a Uganda medical practitioners something. So you can't just sit there and say, "I missed my rota because I was attending a meeting where a prophet was healing people." The moment you talk about healing as a physician, as a medical doctor, you're going to have to explain how healing comes without the application of medicament. You're going to explain. So he says, "I watched these things from the beginning, and I put a record together, and I have made my summation of ideas, my conclusions. I know what I'm talking about. This Jesus was special." Actually, in the whole of the four Gospels, it's only Luke that gives vivid miracles and explains where they came from. The others just say, "Oh, he touched her and healed her." But Luke will go to the detail and says, no, he spit into the dust, got some mixture of spittle and then put that into the man's socket, told him to go and wash, and he came back saying. To a medical mind, that's a miracle. So this is now Luke. He's the same person who says, when Jesus died and we all thought it was dead, suddenly a new thing happened. When he rose again and we saw him go up, suddenly he sent his spirit. And now his spirit is helping these men and women to do stuff that is out of order or out of the norm. That's how he comes to write this book. It's a record. It's a continuation of the first record. But here's the backbreaker now. Acts chapter 28. He started writing these records one by one. By the time we come to Acts 28, the final two verses, and Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the gospel or the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And the book stops there. Then you get into Romans and the others. Every book in the New Testament has got a closing remark. Every book in the New Testament was closed with amen. And I can prove it. Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, all of them closed. They have the word amen after. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, every one of them. Maybe I should try to show you that. You don't seem to believe me. Romans. I notice that your pastor is a teacher. He's not just a preacher. And that's good for me. I love teachers because they instruct you. You're both instructed and inspired. Preachers will inspire you. But after you go home, you ask, he was a mighty preacher. What did he preach about? Oh, he was good. He was just good. But what did he talk about? Oh, you remember he preached, but you can't remember what he said. No. Teachers will tell you what to wait for. Okay. Romans chapter 16 and verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 again. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians, and I can go on and on forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Anything you see with an amen, that is a sealed affair. If you don't see an amen, that means there is continuation. Whatever we're doing today, doctor, whatever you're doing here, pastor, whatever you're doing here, it may not be recognized by men. But in heaven, you are continuing writing the book of Acts. Amen. This book, the book of Acts, continues to be written and will be found in heaven, and every one of us will be asked to tell what it did, and it will be added to that big volume. I'll be there to witness that I came here as an apostle of God and I saw what you're doing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, now, we can never get to this lesson if we don't. Paul now recounts his conversion. He says he's walking on this road to Damascus, and a voice speaks to him clearly. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You cannot keep kicking against the pricks or the goats. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But listen, listen to me. I have appeared to you, so rise up and stand on your feet. Because I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen, of which things in which I will appear to you. I'll deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles. And now reading verse 17. Unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them in from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now he's giving his testimony before the king, King Agrippa. And he says, whereupon, O king, verse 19, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them that are in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. I said, I'm going to speak about how to respond to a heavenly vision. You realize that Paul got a very, very serious ministry. He knows his Rubimbi. He knows what he's supposed to do. It is only the things that Jesus says about that assignment that are dangerous. It is the things that he's gone through already that make it even more dangerous. He says, when he saw the vision, he started on the journey and people wanted to kill him. Let's go back to this situation. He says in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to what? Every one of us, given an assignment, will disobey. Every one of us. Some will do intentionally. Others will not know what they are doing. But it will be disobedience. So my first point is practice obedience. God does not give details. Even when he does, it's very simple detail. The details are never given. But we must live by faith. We must practice faith. Everything in God is by faith. You actually breathe by faith. You go to bed and believe you will keep breathing without thinking about it. Well, we breathe without thinking. But when you go to bed and you go to sleep, you go to believe that that pump will continue pumping even when you are asleep. So we must practice faith. When God gives you an assignment, it has to be an assignment by faith. Faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, faith is what made the wall of fame of faith of the champions we read about in that chapter. Faith. They all believed something. To believe is to give action to what you are sent to. When God tells you to do something, you must give your mind something to think about and some action to follow. That's faith. Let me choose just one character. In the book of Hebrews 11:7 Hebrews, quickly. Let's study here. And if you don't like the study, just shoot up your hand and say, stop, I don't like it. And I'll stop at that stage. Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, the things that God spoke to Noah about were not seen, and they were not going to be seen in the near future. They were going to be far away. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Oh, well. What did Noah do? Noah lived in a generation like ours. And the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. But what did he do really? From this scripture, he built an ark. So that's not where his faith is. I'm going to tell you where his faith is. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says God saw the planet, the earth. It had corrupted itself and he was ready to destroy it. He finds this man called Noah and tells him, you found favor in my sight. I want you to do a job for me. I want you to build an ark. And after you built it, you'll get everybody in there, whoever wants, whosoever will. Those that want, they can come in. Those that do not want to come in, they can stay out. I'm going to destroy the whole planet. Only the people in this ark will be safe. Very simple. The Bible says in Genesis 6, quickly there, and it will be the last verse. Not the last of the sermon, but the last verse in chapter 6. In the first few verses of that scripture, the commandment to build the ark. Verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That whole chapter has a conclusion that says Noah did exactly as God told him. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, come you and all that are in your house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. You heard me. This man starts the journey of building the ark. 10 years later, he's put a few rafts together and a few things together. He's not yet finished. But he's preaching. Preaching righteousness. Everyone stop sinning. Please. The end of the world is about to come. Their modern world was not going to go anywhere. The rains will come. Up until then, there was no rain on earth. The earth was wetted by a small dew that came out of the ground. They've never seen rain, let alone a storm, a flood. They've never seen it. For 20 years, he preached the end. The end didn't come. I'm saying 20. Then 30. Pastor, 40 years. If you stand here for 40 years, and I'm only assuming that you will live and be here until you are 60, and by the time you come to preach, you'll be bent over like so. But 60 years, you've been saying the end will come. And 60 years later, it hasn't come. Would you blame anybody for walking away? If they gave you the better part of 60 years? This is what happened. This man gave his life for 60 years. And listen to this prophet who doesn't seem to bring about anything he says. And they walked away. Would you blame me after 70? I'm not yet 70 years of age. And I know what it is to be 60. So if at 60 I said, please, you would let me. Do you understand what I'm saying? The miracle, the faith part of Noah was in the 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. In fact, scripture says in the book of Peter that it was 120 years. Noah had only one statement. Build me an ark. And for 120 years, he never heard anything else from God. God spoke once, built the ark, and went totally quiet. The next statement he heard from God was, Noah, enter the ark. 120 years later. God does not speak. God is quiet. Especially to his ministers. God does not come every day to tell you what to do, every day to show you what. No. Actually, you should be worried about people who will say, I heard God, I heard God. How many times have you heard him? You should be worried. God does not speak. God comes in the night, and I'll give you a secret. He comes in the night with his angels. This is some singuzi guy. Let's go and inspect. They come at night. And they look at you and look at what you've done. And he says, mark here. I want you to measure from there up to here. 120 feet. 120? Mm. Isn't that what? Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, and this way. Heaven is happy that you are doing your job as you were told. You never get to hear God. You never get to hear God say, thank you, you did well. You will never hear that. It never happens. When you hear it, you died. You are in heaven. You are in heaven. Nobody will ever hear a thank you from God. God will never say to a giver, thank you for giving. It doesn't happen. When you hear God say thank you, you are being ushered into your seat for eternity. Somebody say hallelujah. That is what we are talking about here. The faith that speaks into obedience. God tells you a job to do. You keep doing it. You sweat. You sweat. You get older. You keep sweating. You get older. And you start bending over. But you are committed to what God said. Oh, come on, people. Give the Lord a hand. So, I've come to a point where I do not respect new things every day. It's the old sun. It's the same sun that God created in the beginning. There it is. It still gives us chlorophyll. It still gives us its warmth. It's the same old sun. But we get warmth. Sometimes it's too hot. But who cares? It's the same old Bible. And the truth still is there. So we have to obey God. We have to continue in obedience. The Bible says of Abraham, when God spoke to him, leave your father's house, leave your family, go to a place I will show you. Really, anybody in his mind must think, if God told us to leave here and go to a place where he wants us to go, where do you go? If God spoke to us right here, everyone, when you leave here, go out and go to a place where I will show you, where would we go? I can imagine Abraham walking out of his house, coming to the small junction and saying, okay, which way do you go? Do you go east or west? Do you go left or right? And he says, I'll go here. Because God does not give details. Abraham is a man of faith because he obeyed God. I know that God has capacity to turn your compass around. Does anybody have an iPad or some kind of computer that when you flip it, it turns around and still gives you the picture or your wordings in a straight line? Does anybody have that? Okay, if you don't, I have an iPad. The phone, yes. Why didn't I think about it? My brain. Okay. When you flip your phone over, like so, it changes. Like so, it changes. If I turn it upside down, it still flips to help me. That's what I think about God. That when I step out in faith and I reach a junction, I don't know what to do. Somehow he'll wait for me to take a left or a right. I normally take a right because I don't want to go to the wrong side. So when you take a right, God will still turn the compass around and lead you into your destination. Well, we decided. Give the Lord a hand and thank him, everyone. So do not disobey. Stop disobedience by just moving by faith. Do whatever God told you. Second, stop the excuses, because that's the mark of disobedience. Stop the excuses. And this time I'm going to ask you to tell your neighbor to stop giving excuses when God speaks to them. Go ahead. Stop making them poor excuses. Joshua was told, pull up your socks. Get ready. Time to go. And Joshua said, I can't. Moses was a size 12. His shoes. Mine are a size 6. I can't fit in his shoes. And God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And both Joshua says, no, sir. You got to find somebody else. I'm not going. And even Moses, when Moses was told, you're going to Egypt to bring my people out. What did he say? I cannot go. By the way, Moses was not a straight talker like your pastor and I. No, he was a stammerer. So God said, you need to go to Egypt and bring my kids out. Moses was like, my Lord, I cannot go because I cannot speak. And God said, it's okay. Your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You keep quiet. Just go. No, Lord, we will not go. Because in Egypt, and by the time Moses is talking, you want him to talk and finish. But you keep nodding and saying, let the things come out. And they are not coming out. Stammerers will arc you. You feel like slapping them on the face. Because Pharaoh will kill me. Why? Because he has got much witchcraft. Okay, what is that in your hand? A stick. Bring it to me. Throw it down. It becomes a snake and all these gymnastics. God does stuff to prove he's God and to prove you he's with you. We don't get it. We never get it. And Moses says, I hate snakes, and he starts to run away. And then God says, no, you don't run away. Pick it up. And he picks it up. And then he says, with that rod, I'll strike Egypt and I'll let the people go. It is a fight between God and the person that he's sending to do work for him. It is always a fight. God tells you to do something. It is to your benefit. It is to your ministry. We always say, I can't. And I wish everyone would say, yes, we can. No, the yes, we can thing ended yesterday or the other day. So, now we're going to make Uganda better. We cannot make Uganda great again because it has never been. But I think we can make it better. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses said, I cannot. Joshua said, I cannot. Jeremiah said, Lord, you can't send me. Jeremiah 1:5. You cannot. Because I am but a child. God said, what are you talking about? What is this thing you're talking about? Before you were formed, where? In your mother's womb. Ah, what is that? What is before your mother's womb? You were still in your father's loins. You were distances away from your mother. Maybe they hadn't met. God must have formed Jeremiah when this girl was in primary school. Or maybe kindergarten. Before they met. Because he says, before you formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I set you apart to be a prophet. I set you up so that you may also help me set up stuff to build and to destroy. Oh, come on, people. So, you are not an accident. Some people have been told, and I know some of you have been told, that you are an accident just about to happen. No, 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 no. In God, you are preconceived. God knew your hairstyle. Do you see that? Look at this right here. God knew that this would be the shape of the head. I mean, when your mother and father met, when the two types of chromosomes met, that in the first 30 minutes of that mixture of the juices from one side and the juices from the other side came together to form you, God knew the shape of your head. God knew what you would look like. God knew what your destiny was. God knew what would happen in the future. So you are not here by accident. Don't allow anybody to say, "Oba wanona chiwano." Don't even give them an idea. Don't give them a minute. You were known by heaven before you even came on planet Earth. Or somebody shout hallelujah there. So don't talk like Jeremiah. I'm but a child. What did you want to be? People say, "I am but a child. I am but a woman." And you think, "So, what did you want to be?" You are a woman. It shows. We see it. We are not stupid. But I'm only a man. What would you only be? What else would you be? You are who you are, and God knows who you are. He knows the strength that you have. He knows the potential of your life. He knows where you are going. He knows where you will end. Stop those excuses. Stop. They are poor excuses. Now we can use the word stupid because the speaker used it. Stop. Yeah, oh yes. Oh yes. Once a big person uses a word, it is allowed to use it in common vocabulary. So therefore, tell your neighbor, stop those excuses. It's allowed. It's allowed now. It's part of common vocabulary. Gideon said, "You can't use me, God." Gideon is in Judges chapter 6 verse 12. "You can't use me, God, because I am the youngest in my tribe and our tribe is the smallest." What has that got to do with God? God is not tribal. He doesn't have a color. He doesn't know Africans from whites. He doesn't know whatever differences you have. God is God. If he chooses you, it's because he has chosen you. Instead of us celebrating that choice, we always give those. Isaiah said, God, Isaiah chapter 1 and it's verse 5, "I cannot go." Why? "I am a man with unclean lips." Now this is a man. A man with unclean lips? Oh. If it was a woman, it's okay. Women can lie. Women can gossip. Unclean lips. What do unclean lips do? They gossip. They tell lies. Yes, women say always, "I love you, I love you." And they don't mean it. But when it is a man who is saying, "Look, I am a man with unclean lips," then we are in danger. When a man begins to do the things that a woman should do, maybe he was a gossiper. I hate gossipers. I hate people who talk, backbiters, unclean lips. They point at their... They don't point with a finger. They point with... And God said, "It's okay, I'll take care of that." He picks a pair of tongs. Yeah, they are like scissors. They are like fire pickers. He goes to his furnace and goes, and takes out a coal of fire, steaming hot red, and goes, and he says, "Now this coal has touched your lips. Now we will go." You can never give a good excuse before God enough to convince him to let you off. Never. I'm telling you people, all of you, some of you are going to live a miserable 120 years of life here. And you'll be saying, "Well, God has been good to me. I have lived a long life and yet it was miserable." You should have died a long time ago and gone to rest. But because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, in time, God extends your life so that you do what you are supposed to do. With the pain of age. You don't have to live to be 150. Trying to fulfill God's will. Do it early. So that you have time off.
When you do God's business early, you can retire early. And retirement does not mean you die. Retirement means you walk in the villages and they all say, that's the old man of the village. And your job is to just go like so. And people look at you and say, he's been here for days. And you correct them. Not days. Years. It's true. I want you to obey God. Just like Paul. Paul says, I did not disobey God. Okay, now, let's get down there. He says, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Wow. Big word. Vision. And I will not dwell on it for a long time. Vision has four characteristics. Number one, every vision has a carrier, a bearer. Every vision has a bearer. And every one of you has a vision. When God gives you a vision, he'll also give you provision. Amen. Provision means the things that support the vision. Provision. Provision does not mean kuriaku meri. No. It's the things that support the vision. When God gives you an assignment, it will happen by God's empowerment. Okay. Every vision has a bearer, but every vision has a supporter. You heard me. There will be people who will come out and say, I am here to support this vision. Not because they don't have theirs, but because by supporting yours, theirs also becomes alive. But every vision has a stealer. Uh-oh. There are people who are visionless. And their job is to scout. They're just looking around. They're sharp-eyed. They're like hawks. They look around and they look out for people who have visions. And their job is to steal those visions. When you delay with yours, somebody will do it. You're a bit with less anointing, less expertise, because God gave you the vision, he would know what you need for it. They stole the vision, but they didn't steal the implements. So they'll find some means and ways of doing the same vision. Never worry about stealers, because all they do is steal. But they're there. We call them copycats. You start something, it wouldn't surprise me, and I hope to God it doesn't happen, that somebody would open a church in one of the other rooms there. Is there one already? You know why? You know why? Every vision has a stealer. And the person who steals a vision thinks they took everything. No. There's something called a blueprint. The original thing. Oh, people, please. There's something that is so original that you can only look at Abraham and learn from him. You can look at Moses and learn from them. You look at Joshua, you look at Gideon, all the characters that I mentioned today. You can only look at them and study from them, but there's no way you're going to replicate. There's no way you're going to do the same miracles as happened in the days of Moses. Where will you get all those frogs? Huh? The Bible says there were frogs everywhere. Where will you get all those frogs from? You need a lot of frogs to bring about the same miracle that Moses had. Where will you go like Abraham? So therefore, never mind about vision stealers, because you got the blueprint. Do what God told you and let everyone else be a mimicker. Let everybody else be a copycat. Let them copy. You do your thing. And I guarantee you, especially in Uganda, when you do something, somebody else will copy it. Look at this. Put these glasses on. You see this man? In this area, if you look around, there will be pastors who will have dark shades so that they can just look at, just look like your pastor. If this is his style of dress, people will copy. They know how to do this. They take photos. They can go to a store and find a blue shirt with stripes like so. They can find your real watch. They can find this suit and this kind of... One day somebody will stand up there with the same shades and look like you are the same. People will copy anything. Never worry about them. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Every vision does not only have a carrier or a bearer, a supporter or a stealer. Every vision has a killer. There are those that cannot steal it. Their resolve is, okay, I'll kill it. Do you remember the two women? I can't remember the scripture. Don't tease me. But two women gave birth about the same time. Yes, there are some people who are following. Some people are awake. Thank God for this church. Some people are awake. Two women had babies about the same time. One of them was stupid. The other one wasn't. And the stupid one slept badly and crushed a child. May God help us from those women who sleep on their child. But anyway, so the morning comes and they all wake up, and between the two of them, they have one living child. Ah. This one is mine, this one is mine. The dead is yours. No, the dead is mine. The fight goes on and on until it reaches the king's palace in Banda, I think. Okay, let's say Mengo. And the king calls out for these women. Whose child is this? Mine, 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 mine. Why do you say she's yours? No, 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 the dead one belongs to this one. Did you realize that nobody wants a dead thing? No one wants a dead thing. Me neither. I don't want any dead thing. Anyway, so, give me the child. Picks up the child. He says, give me my sword. I'm going to cut the child asunder. I'm going to cut this child into two pieces. And each one of you can have half of the child. Then justice is done. Suddenly, they go different ways. The vision killer says, yes, kill the child. The child will neither be mine nor hers. Vision killers do not care the life of the child. Already a child is dead, and you want to kill another one. A vision killer will not care whether this church goes asunder. Who cares? They want to kill it because it is not theirs. But the mother of the child said, Your Excellency, Your Royal Highness, not Excellency. There were no excellencies then. Excellency, is it an advanced stage? Or... Your Royal Highness, don't kill the child. Mm-hmm. Let this woman have the child. It's okay. And the king said, all right, my judgment is very clear. You want to give this child to that mother? Yeah. I am giving this child to you to keep for the kingdom. What did he know? You cannot be the mother of this vision and want it dead. Only the one that's not a mother will want this vision dead. Anybody who does not want you to succeed is not your friend. Let them stop talking. Stop them in their tracks. If they don't wish you well. And you people, why do you have ears? To hear people talk. So when you're talking to people, listen to whether they are supporting you, encouraging you, pushing you forward, or destroying your progress. Amen. You are not here to build retrogression. You are here to build your progress. Listen to people. The reason you have ears is not to balance your body. The reason you have ears is so that you can hear people who are for you or against you. Amen. Oh, people, please. Listen to them. Listen to the pastor. Be keen. You have a vision. If this thing is not bringing out what should support you, honey, the door is always open. Let it be the challenge of the man that stands here to build your vision. He builds your vision, you build his. He scratches you, you scratch him. Scratches your back, scratch his back. He gives you a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, a prayer, and you encourage him in whatever way you want. Even if it is just a wave. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, does everybody have a vision? Yes. I don't know when you stop. When do you stop? You don't stop? This man is amazing. You don't stop anywhere. You got to stop somehow. You have a vision? Today. Okay, sorry about this. Sorry. Joseph had a vision. And where did his vision take him? His brothers sold him. Aha. Before they sold him, they threw him into a pit. P-I-T. Yes. P-I-T. P-I-T sounds like pastor in training. A vision. Did I cause trouble?
No.
I have two policemen that guard me. I can walk out. But you know, pit. People, your vision will get you into a pit. It doesn't matter whether you are a pastor or a policeman or a prophet. You go through the pit. What is the vision? To be the leader in the palace. You don't get to the palace. The palace will have to go through the pit. A prophet will have to go through there. Pit. I don't know. Does that sound like prophet in transition? Or prosperity in transit? Prosperity has to go through the pit. It doesn't just come. No. He says, I showed first unto them in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the course of Judea and the Gentiles that they should repent and do works fit or good for repentance. I showed them. Every one of you is a minister. Well, I'm an apostle. If I say you are a minister, you can't say no. I command you out, all of you, to go out as Matthew says. Go ye into the whole world. Preach the gospel. The gospel doesn't have to be very many verses. The gospel is sometimes your character. Hello? God said in his word, in those days, or days will come, when I give you my spirit, let's go to that scripture. It's going to be Ezekiel. Ezekiel, are you there? Ezekiel, I got him. Let's see, he should be here, 36. What does it say? 36 verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen. That's where God has taken us from. And gather you out of all the countries. I'll bring you into this, your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols. I'll cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put where? Within you. Folks, and I want your pastor to teach you on this one. That is what we call spirit within and spirit upon. Spirit within is the building of character. Spirit upon is the power that you need to make good what God promised you. So there is spirit upon. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me. The second anointing is a spirit upon. The first anointing is a spirit where?
Within.
Spirit within is character. God builds a man before he commissions him. You see, what you have met in this country and the rest of the world are people anointed upon, spirit upon. When the spirit came upon David, what does it say? He picked up a bear and struck it once and was dead. The spirit of the Lord came upon him, and a lion came against his father's flock and picked a lamb and ran away with it. David says, I followed it, and it threw the lamb down, and I beat it, and I tore it, as it were, a small goat. You can't even tear a rabbit. This man did. Because the spirit of the Lord God was? That's the same anointing that killed Goliath. Yeah, but wait a moment. This same king, a couple of chapters later, is seen walking on top of his palace in the evening. And he sees a woman, Mrs. Uriah, having a shower. Now, you men should be smart enough and build showers that cover your wives when they're having a shower. Never allow your wife to have a shower in the open. You're going to cause trouble for kings. Tell your neighbor, did you hear that? And no, if you ask them, especially if they are your husband, they should give you a nice, beautiful, clean shower inside the house where you even lock. Keep the women away from public. You let your woman have a shower in the open. She's down there having a shower. Who cares? Some man watching. Trouble came. David asked, who is that girl? Oh, Uriah's wife. All right. Mlete. It's the king's order. They bring the girl. You know the rest of the story. He had the spirit without. He had no character. Ask your neighbor whether we can trust them with somebody's husband or wife, depending on who they are. Ask them. You have 1 minute. Can we trust you? Can we trust you with somebody's wife? Especially if they have the hairstyle, the blue eyes, the white teeth, and a talk like the whole world is coming to an end in the next minute. Somebody said, never allow your gift. The character is the charisma, the gifting, the power. The spirit of God inside is the character. The spirit on the outside is the gift. Never allow your gift to take you where your character cannot keep you. How many of you ever heard of Samson? Samson, yeah? He was about my size. He says, Samson was a real man. Women said, yeah, that's the man they want. So women, you never know what they really want. Do you remember what happened when Jesus and Barabbas were put before them? The man said, which one do you want? Why? This man is a rapist. This man did this and that and that. That's why he's in jail. And they said, yeah, that's the one we want. What about Jesus? Hey, any woman has ever seen Jesus anywhere? No. They want this man. He's a rapist. That's what women, they never. Be careful. Choose one and separate her. Take one like Frida. For 33 years now, nobody comes near her. If you want to see me, then come near. And in this generation, it doesn't matter whether it is a man coming near or a woman coming near. Well then, Samson, you can trust Samson with the Philistines. He will kill 3,000 in one go. You can trust Samson with a fence, some burglar proofing. He'll carry the whole lot to the top of the hill, up to Naguru or someplace. You can't trust Samson with Delilah. There are people we can't trust with our money. Oh, yes. Somebody said to me many years ago, I can't remember when. It's been many waters have passed over. Somebody said, you can't trust preachers with pride. They want the glory. You can't trust them with money. They want the gold. You can't trust with women. They want the girls. Girls, gold, and glory. Preachers will want it. You don't know what happens to a preacher when they are speaking and the people are, yes! Put this water here. It gives me a problem. It gets threatened when I'm talking and it falls over. Falling under the anointing. I'll take it. You can't trust Samson with some things. Can we trust you? Because you see, this is where vision fails. Vision fails when we can't be trusted. Finally, he says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Oh, come on, people. If you have a vision, you cannot avoid people who want to kill you. When you're a dreamer, when you watch Dream TV, you cannot avoid people coming at you. You know why? Every dreamer has an enemy. That's why they wanted to kill Joseph. The stupid thing about their lives is that a few years later, there is famine in the land. And the Bible says, Genesis 47, there was famine both in Canaan and in Egypt. Where? Canaan and? Who is in charge of the food system in Egypt? The dreamer, their brother. All the wealth that went to Egypt should have been the wealth that was in Canaan. That would have been in Canaan. When you are jealous and envious, normally you'll push your blessings to another person. Stop that jealousy. We should stop it, all of us. Let them be. If they are, we are. Nobody's going to stand in your way, honey. I tell you people, God does not have duplicates. Oh. God does not have... my wife, when she was 21,
We met when she was 21. She was a schoolgirl. People said I was a molester, and I said, no, no, no. She's 21. Well, she was a 21, just fresh out of Nkumba College of Commerce then. She had left when they elevated it, and I said, don't worry. If you've ever been, you still Makere University, Nkumba campus. Don't worry about it. But anyway, she sits in the congregation and sees me preaching. Did you say glory to God? Somebody said praise to God. So she sees me preaching and prayed. This is true to the letter. She prayed and said, God, if I ever come to time to marry, give me a man like that young man. And God said to her, I don't have doubles. What you see there is in it, it's an original form. So if that's the one you want, that's the one you get. Somebody shout hallelujah. So many ways, even though I started this journey, but she had started much earlier than I. She started praying for me before I spotted her. Then suddenly my eyes twitched. And I said, this girl looks good. And I started the journey. Then she told me the story and I said, so you started on me before I started on you. You girls be smart. Start on them. Pray for them. But God does not have doubles. So let everybody be. Let her be. Let you be. Everybody can be. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So he says, having therefore obtained the help of God. The help of God is also the mercy of God. The grace of God. People, listen to me. Whatever you will achieve in this world will be because of the grace of God. The grace of God. It is his desire and his grace and his will that you become the champion. Never mind your gender. Never mind what you're going through now. Never. I read in the book of Hebrews that in the line of the champions of faith, there is this little woman called Rahab. A prostitute. And I said, God, why did you put the word there, prostitute? Because it doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you end. Yeah. What you are now is not the sum total of your life. This is just the beginning. The difference is about to come. You are about to turn into another man or another woman. The champion in you is just about to emerge. Yeah. So don't worry what people say about you now. Now is not tomorrow. Now is now. Tomorrow you can be changed. This is not what I look like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. No. 20 years ago, the doctors wouldn't come to me. They wouldn't. Everyone has a place where they'll come. Don't you ever make permanent statements over temporary issues. Say that to your neighbor. What you're going through is temporal. It's now. Tomorrow, and by the way, if you are going through, keep going. There are people who get stuck in the middle. You get through. If you're going to be burnt, get burnt and let it go. Have you ever been to a hospital? And you had to have an injection, and you didn't like the injection, and your mother insists you'll have it. Mothers, mothers. And so what do you do? What do you do? You go like a man dies like a man. And they go, phew. And you hear the nurse say, mother's sedative. And you feel like, you. Stupid you. So get through it. Get through education now. Get through it.
Take a choice. Somebody says, I love you, I want to get married, and you say, Nchero was you. Tell your neighbor, Olo was that. You want to get married, we all know. Stop thinking, do the thing and get away with it. And I'm not talking about girls here. No, I'm talking about men. Men, you're going to live here and go to a KFC near you and you say you had lunch. Lunch in a KFC? Who are you? Lunch is only cooked by a woman. You get home and say, you left it off. So, you left your bed and closed the door and locked up. Did you think some angel stayed inside to do something? That's how. Help of God. He says, I continue unto this day. I continue. Don't stop what God told you to do. If God doesn't speak to you, Pastor, don't worry about it. Keep doing what he told you to do many years ago. It's still valid. Yeah, don't try to invent new things. There are people inventing testimonies. People inventing prophecies. No. Don't invent anything. Don't go like, I think God is saying. No, don't think. If God is saying, let him say it. And if he's not saying it, he told us to do some chores last night or the other evening. Let's do those ones. If your lecturer doesn't give you a new assignment, what do you do? Do the last one. Keep revising. Go back over your notes. Read some books. Educate yourself. Quickly. Don't waste time trying to say, I'm reinventing something new. For what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have to reinvent himself. I continue today. What does he continue? Preaching the same message. Preaching the same gospel. Trying to get people saved. Trying to get to teach the prophets and Moses and what they said should come. Don't give up on life. This is how you fulfill a destiny. Destinies are fulfilled step by step. And scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God will say, up. Step. Before he says, up again, you stay where you are. That's how you work with God. People who have walked and left God have gone and felt like, where am I? What am I doing here? And they come back and they say, I know the Lord. Come and I'm going to get there. And they are back to where you found them. It's always good to walk with the Lord. Don't walk ahead of him and don't be in the back far away. Walk with the Lord. Walk with the master. Feel his touch. Walk every step. Listen to him talk. You keep quiet. Some people need to be told, shut up. Some men, oh, I pity men. Some men have wives that are day in and day out, and she's talking and talking, and you feel like, nyabu, when do you ever stop? Stop talking. Let us listen to God. So, walk with him. It's worse when a man is talkative. I mean, they go to this university called Talkative University. And they come out talking like robots. And the kids, you know, kids are a very sensitive thing. They know. They all vanish. You come in the house because you are talkative. You say, Maria. You call your wife Maria. Maria. Habana baliwa. Simanyi, neba kuhuli dengoja. Isn't that lesson enough? Your kids should come out and tickle you and touch you and make you talk. Not you walking in, sending them to under the bed. Be a friend to everyone around you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. There are people that you need. There are people that you want. There are others you don't need and don't want. The people you need are those above you. Those that will help you raise your status, raise your faith, encourage you to go on. The people you don't need are the ones that need you. Those that need you need to find you. You find those that you need. You didn't hear me, did you? I said, you heard me. Good. The people that you need are above you. Look for those ones. Those that need you, never stoop down to look for people. They will come to you. And if people are not looking for you, you are not yet important. You wait until you are. They will come. You don't have to rush into it. It will come. And when they come, they will overwhelm you. So don't look for them. But is there nobody coming to me? I hear people say, come. Mujemba savire. Mujemba savire. But then I also have these ones. Njala kuja umzee usavire. Siriu. Oh, no, but I would Tuesday next week. Njakera. No, tokera. Njakuba never say. Please, mzee, chindi bubi nzija. And you feel like, yeah, they are coming. I can't say, hello, ngorudo kujoku savire. Folks, we got to close this thing. Even though your pastor says we can go on forever. I came here to say you have a vision. Amen. You must maintain it. Amen. You must keep it. You must protect it. Amen. God is on your side. Amen. And if God is on our side, who can be against us? Listen, this is just the beginning. Most of you are bricks in this foundation. I'm a builder. Some foundations will take more bricks and more mortar, and more cement and more concrete and more stone than they will do in the walls. This ministry needs you to be here as its foundation. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that God will give you that position. I speak prophetically into your life. There are some of you who are foundational. Your work here, your ministry here, your coming here is to make sure that the foundation is laid on hardcore concrete. I therefore speak in your lives in the name of Jesus. I charge you to be strong. I charge you to be sturdy. To be strong, because we need a foundation that is strong. I command you to be strong in your spirit. Be strong in the power of the Almighty. Let God be God. Let the Spirit of God hover over you. Kindly find your position right now. Encourage yourself in the things that God is doing in this church. Listen to the word of God without prejudice. Cause yourself to hear God's voice. And allow him to be God. Allow him to speak into your own life. Because as foundation, there is a building that is coming up. While the people talk about the flashy colors in the future, while the people talk about the good-looking glasses in the future, you will have been used in the foundation. And your name will never be left out or blotted out. I pray in the name of Jesus over your lives to be strong. To take this charge with seriousness. To see yourself in the foundation. If they step on you, it's because you're foundation. If they defy you, it's because you're foundation. If you are covered in the rubble and you are not seen, it's because you are in the foundation. The building can only be as strong as its foundation. And I see many of you in that situation. May the Spirit of God come upon you now. Come upon you to make you do exploits for God. Scripture says, the people that know their God shall be strong. And they will do exploits for God. I release the spirit of exploits on your lives. Each one of you. Each one of you. Some of you to be spirit-filled within so that you may build the character of this congregation and church. So that this church will be the very desire of the nations. That people flock from the east and west and come and be part of what God is doing. This is not just a church. This is revival in happening. This is not just a church. This is renewal in the making. And every renewal has a mother. Every revival has a father. May God cause you to be part of that revival. I speak newness and freshness now. May the spirit that rested on Noah, the spirit of confidence and persistence, the spirit of obedience, rest upon each one of you. May this church find its position in this country. May your candle never be quenched. May your light shine so that everyone will see the new thing that is coming out of Untinda. We speak, as I speak now, somebody is being raised up to be a leader here. A serious leader. Somebody that will show the oracles of God to others. I see people rising up and standing up to a challenge. And the challenge is being done without sweat. I see you in a place where you have not sweated. It will be so easy. I command your lives to be prosperous. I command your lives to be full of benefit. May the Lord God of heaven that allowed me to come here cause it to happen. Not later, but sooner. May your blessings come your way right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to the west to bring forth that which is yours, all of you. I speak to the east to bring that which is yours to come into your hands. I speak blessings to come your way. I command the blessings of heaven that come from only the Father come to your hands so that this job is easy. I release you into your potential and into your future. Every destiny, one by one, may your name be recorded for whatever you will have done, because this is God's will and this is the desire of the Spirit of God. Master, raise not just singers, not just a choir, but a ministry. Let a voice that attracts people come out of this church. Oh Lord, give your servant words that will show that indeed the second Adam was a life giver. A spirit from God. And Father, now as I leave this congregation, I commend them to the grace that our Father, only Father in heaven, can give. May every one of them enjoy life. May we see each other when they are 70, 80, and I'm 120 and 130. May we grow into newness and freshness. May you bind our spirits together. May there be special love between our congregations and our ministries. May there be a father-son relationship that is for real, that brings forth fruit, that bears fruit in each season. May the season of this church, may the era of this church be started today. And I kick it into motion and I declare it done in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this man. Whatever reasons he came to my office for, Lord, let it be for your glory. Paul said, we know in part. We prophesy in part. But whatever you have given me, Lord, give to this man. Whether it is influence, whether it is grace, whether it is acceptance, and any other gift. Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. I release every gift on my life unto this man. And I anoint him with my sweat in the name of Jesus. May you show favor to him. May you give him days of acceptance. May you release him into his fullness. May he speak for the kingdom. Make this man an ambassador for the kingdom that we stand for. In Jesus' name. And I give him a right hand of fellowship. And I give him my shoulder to lean on. And my love and warmth to enjoy. May this man be a blessing. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Give our Apostle Jesus Serada another big hand clap. Glory be to God. There's a prophet, it's called Alpha. Some time ago, like 2 months ago, he told John and Paul that in this week, like he saw ahead, he said that in this week of like the 18th, you know, 22nd, you know, he said that something great is going to happen to your church. He did not know about this whole arrangement. Amen? Hallelujah. So we thank the apostle for what the blessing he has given unto us. Amen? There's always a blessing that comes from a father. Amen? So like I told you before he came, honor fathers. You know, the men and women who laid the foundation for the glory that this country is experiencing now. There are people who suffered for it. They suffered. They suffered for it. And then now we are reaping what we didn't sow. But the Father sowed for the children. And you're one of them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's take an offering. Our normal offerings. Obviously, we have to bless our Father. Our Father in the faith in Uganda. Amen. There comes a time when fathers are not supposed to give to the children. So the children, you know those verses where the children bless the fathers. Not because the fathers don't have, but because the children have more than enough. Glory be to God. Amen. So Father, we thank you for the great window of opportunity that you have opened for us as LAT. Father, we thank you for our father in this country, the man who has labored, the man who went through great sufferings to bring this church to where it is now. So Father, we thank you, and we don't take for granted the blessing that has been passed down from him unto us. Great words have you spoken concerning this church in prophecies, in dreams, and in visions. And Father, you had to get your man of God to come and usher us into that path. Father, we bless him in the name of Jesus. We bless him, precious Father. Just like he has blessed his children, here, spiritual children, Father, we also pray for a blessing upon his natural children. Father, in the name of Jesus, may they become great. That girl who is a lawyer, Father, may she become a great lawyer in this country for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. And everyone here, the Lord considers you blessed. The Lord considers you immovable. The Lord says you shall fulfill the heavenly vision that he gave unto you. Heed the words of his apostle and walk in that light. Walk in that light, and every vision, every plan of God for your life shall be fulfilled. And when all is said and done, you shall hear a thank you. Thank you, wise and faithful servant, that you shall hear from the master. Father, we glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.